is not an option for the church, for our mission agency, for a believer of Jesus. So when churches respond to the call of missions by giving money to missions through our cooperative effort or through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, they are actually supporting ministries to persons in need. In addition to these, many individuals and churches give to hunger relief. And in the last 5 years, the Home Mission Board has received $6.5 million that we are able to spend exclusively 100% to meet the needs of those who are hungry. And then the exciting thing about Southern Baptists are lay people. For thousands upon thousands of lay persons have discovered that they are ministers of the gospel in a needy world and have responded to the call of God gifted by the Spirit for service and serve as volunteers. Many from Baptist women and Baptist men mission action groups involved in food pantries, soup kitchens, literacy education, English as a second language, tutoring, providing ministries for children and youth, big gay clubs, Bible studies, healthcare, transportation, and so many other areas. The passage you heard read, we're familiar about it. I don't know if Jesus was nervous when he went back to Nazareth going to preach his first sermon. I surely was nervous when I preached mine. I'm nervous when I stand here before you. But I believe that Jesus felt a strong sense of mission on that day. What did they perceive him to be? What did they think his job was, his purpose in life? And I think that he wanted to make very clear to the people of his hometown what his mission, what his purpose, what God has sent him as the anointed one to do in the world. And he told them very clearly, picked up the scroll, we would open our Bibles to Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, and that's the passage that he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free the oppressed, announce the year when the Lord will save his people. And actually he said, because I'm here, this prophecy has come true before your eyeballs. And if we are followers of Jesus, then there should be hope for the poor, because as followers of Jesus, he also has anointed and gifted us to do the very same thing that he did when he was here in the world, to minister, to love, to care for those who were in need. Some observations. In light of this, I think it's time for us to evaluate the gospel we believe, live, and proclaim. The folk gospel of success has bought into American culture. It says if we are faithful and obedient to Jesus, we will gain prosperity and success. This is false. Following Jesus will not make us successful, but servants in a needy and lost world. The self-centered gospel, which only stresses personal piety and spirituality, but ignores the needs of others, is selfish and self-serving. It will not thrust us into the world of hurt and human need. What stands in the center of your faith, the Bible or Jesus? I hope you're not hesitating with your answer. My faith is focused on Jesus. Jesus died for me. He lives in me. He is my strength. He gives me purpose in life. He is the one who has called me to mission in the world. Jesus must be centermost in our faith. Only he leads us to the Father. Jesus is the one who sends us the Holy Spirit to dwell in our lives and to gift us for ministry and service. The gospel call today is for repentance, total faith in Christ, humility, accepting love for one another, daily cross-bearing, giving, sharing, being on a mission in today's world. Colossians 2:6, since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him. Keep your roots deep in him. Build up your lives on him and become ever stronger in your faith. We must love people. A student at Auburn University announced to me that he's going to be a missionary. I was excited. I didn't know engineering students from Auburn were thinking about being missionaries. And so I asked him, how come you want to be a missionary? I was expecting a testimony that I could share. You know, where I grew up, I was in Royal Ambassadors. I was a BSU summer missionary. in my experience, in these needs and opportunities, and I feel God's calling me. In response to my question, why is it that you want to be a missionary? He said, I like people, and when I see them in need, I want to help them. First verse I memorized in Portuguese was easy to memorize. It just took me a long time to find it. I want to find the shortest verse. Finally, I found it. You know? Jesus chorou. Jesus wept. Finally, I had to memorize some longer ones. Porque Deus amou ao mundo de tal maneira, for God so loved the world that he gave. Hey, God so loved what? The Bible, orthodoxy, doctrine, truth? No, God was motivated by love for human beings, and that's what caused him to send Jesus into the world. The Bible says, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you are a liar. I mean, that's what it says, 1 John 9:4-19-20. How is it that you can love God whom you've never seen? If you don't love, if you pass by, ignore your prejudice and bigoted against your brother whom you see. He who loves God must also love his brother. Why do I say all of this? Well, there's a prejudice and social stigma and bigotry in the U.S. against the poor. You know, poor people, man, they're lazy. They don't want to work. All they want is a handout. Besides that, when you help them, they know the system. They're conning you. They're a bunch of cheating liars. And women who are poor, they just keep having babies so they can get more welfare. Poor women get pregnant just like anybody else. A man impregnated her. We can't help people if we don't love, accept them, and respect them. But instead, we stomp and walk on them as if they were inferior human beings. We cannot proclaim the Christ and serve the needy from a self-righteous pedestal. We must stand by the side of those who hurt and suffer, share their despair, fear, embarrassment, shame, the blame, the hopelessness, just like Jesus has done for us. Norma Barnett is a layperson, Haines Road Baptist Church, Levittown, Pennsylvania. We were in a workshop on mission action and ministry. And I asked, you know, tell me what ministries you're doing. Well, she was one of the first ones. And she told about Mother's Day Out in this little congregation. But it was interesting. She said, our Mother's Day Out program is not for the mothers of the church, because you can't bring your kids there if you're a member of the church. You've got to be a mother in the community. And then she talked about two of those mothers who now were in Bible study close to coming to Christ. She talked about food pantry ministry. Just through a referral basis with a public school, they were helping about 11 families every week. Then she was excited about having gone to the ESL workshops on mission board in the conversational English. And she had her own student, a Cambodian woman, that she was teaching how to read and write. Then the most exciting thing she had to share, and I didn't know what she was talking about, she said, I need to tell you about our morning care program. I said, morning care? What's that? She said, well, we went over to the public school and had heard about latchkey kids and their problems, and we wanted to see if maybe we could do something in the afternoon with latchkey kids. But the principal knew of one need that was visible before him all the time, every morning. He said, parents, particularly single-parent families who are dropping off their kids at school at 7 o'clock. We don't open till 9. Can you provide help for them? So now every morning, the pastor, his wife, two lady volunteers, 28 children every morning, a snack breakfast. They do their homework, listen to Bible studies, sing songs about Jesus, learn to pray. I said, Norma, how come you're doing all of this? She didn't hesitate. She said, God has called me. She said, I must be involved. There's so many needs in my community. And then she said, I love it. She's one of these believers who discover what Jesus said after he washed his disciples' feet. He said, happy you will be if you put it into practice. Well, we must be a people on mission. Dale Moody, one of my favorite professors, says the church is mission. And where there is no mission, there is no church. God has called the church out of the world to send her back into the world with a message and a mission. God hasn't called us to build up the church, to build up ourselves. Our call is to be on mission, to penetrate culture, to impact the world, to change lives, and to change society. J. Alfred Smith, a pastor of a Baptist congregation in Oakland, California, said the world is where the mission of the believer and the church must take place. This world of hurt where healing is needed, this world where hope is needed, this world where the scales of justice must be balanced, this world where sexism, racism, classism, and all the evilisms that strive to destroy human life. This is the world that God loves and is the place of mission for the believer in the church. For 19 years, I've done journeyman training. The sharpest college graduates from our churches who spent 2 years overseas. My job has been in personal evangelism training. It's been fun. But I noticed a lot of changes in the journeyman. One of the biggest one is that through the years, their Bibles get bigger and bigger. I tease them about it. I looked over the shoulder of one of these journey girls, and she had this big Bible open and a lot of red in it. And I said, what is all that red in your Bible? Well, she thought, you know, this Brazilian doesn't know, so she was wonderful. She said, this is the red letter edition of the Bible. And I said, what's a red letter edition of the Bible? She said, my Bible has all the words of Jesus in red. And quickly I said, hey, have you ever seen the green letter edition of the Bible? She said, green letter? No. What is that? I said, the green letter edition of the Bible has all that Jesus did in green. And then I asked her, what do you think is more important, what he said or what he did? Hey, I knew she made a great missionary. That afternoon she came to me and said, Nathan, do you really have a green letter edition of the Bible? You know, our friends, the friends of our church people and believers, those who know us, are pretty familiar with the red letter edition of our lives, because that's what we stress, what you believe. And then we have all these workshops and trainings how to word the gospel. But I'm telling you that they and the world will not be convinced of the truth of the gospel until they see the green letter edition of our lives. Place your faith totally on Jesus. Love people. Be on mission. If a man is rich and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against his brother, how can he claim that he has love for God in his heart? My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action.
There will be a Dutch treat lunch and dialogue session with Dr. Porter today at 1 o'clock in the small room at the cafeteria. Each one of you is invited to be a part of that experience with Dr. Porter in conversation. As we now begin to leave this place with the words we've heard and the commitments that we know have been made in many lives, and with commitments that may still remain with us to be made, let this be a special day among us, not only in this place, but on the campus, in our homes, in rooms, and in our churches, and in places that we may not have ever thought of going and being and doing. Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes and stretch our minds to see and to understand the people and their needs around us. Help our hearts to be full of compassion and love to reach out to them, and set our feet in intentional ways to go to be your messengers, not only with words, but with the substance of our lives and of our giving. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we make this prayer. Amen.